Hey, what it do, y'all? What's good?
How much?
Hey, so this is Sky here. You know, I'm from Southwest Atlanta, repping that 404. Currently in Southern California, I'm with that Beach Decor, also known as the Wild Wild West. And I'm with the homie. Who are you?
What up, y'all? It's Cecile's VA all day, two up, two down. Repping the 804 specifically, the real P-Town, Petersburg. Now chilling in the Pacific Northwest, living with the trees.
And we are Shea Butter FC, as in Shea Butter Football Club, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspective on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin,
lay your edges,
and deepen your love for all things Black women.
So in this week, we're going to explore the last week of the group stages of the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup.
All right. We will then look at the results of the UEFA Women's Champions League and the second leg of both semifinals.
And then we're going to rank our midfielders from last week for our Shea Butter FC Top 10.
All right. And we will talk week two of SBFC Get Your Fits Right. This week, we're going to focus on kits. And then we will get into our hits and riffs, rants and raves for the week.
All right, then. So then let's get started, because we're going to explore the last week of the NWSL's Challenge Cup's group stage. So, let's get into the first game, which was Rossing Louisville versus the North Carolina Courage.
Forget you do Rossing. All right. Fancy that.
Yeah. So that scoreline, Rossing lost 2 goals to the North Carolina Courage's 3.
Yes.
So what are some highlights with this game here?
So some of the highlights, we had goals by CeCe Kaiser and Jorian Bachman. Am I saying that correctly?
Yep. She was balling.
She's a delegate, you know, so she had herself a nice little goal there. We also had goals from Kristen Hamilton, Dougal Davina, and we had an own goal on Louisville, which ended up being the deciding goal, and it was forced, of course, by Dougal Davina once again. It looks like Racing had 6 shots on goal, 3 on target. North Carolina had 14 shots on goal, also 3 on target. So a little bit of an up and down game, obviously dominated by North Carolina, but Racing seems to find ways to score and keep pace with teams. So they pleasantly surprised me in terms of their play. So
And Jorian came in out, like, she got subbed in and then immediately scored.
Yeah, so it was really quick.
She was balling, but sadly, North Carolina was balling her.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
And so, that's basically was that fast-paced game. The next game was the Kansas City NWSL team.
Yes.
Versus the Houston Dash.
Yes.
In Houston. And so Houston won that game, 3 goals to the 1 from Kansas City.
Yes.
And, the return of Rachel Daly and Christy Mewis meant the goals that weren't happening started happening.
Yes. They found their offense.
Yeah. And Christy's had 2. Rachel Daly had 1.
Yeah. Which,
if I'm remembering correctly, Rachel Daly.
It was a little divey, I feel.
It's a divey. Divey goal.
Divey. It didn't look like a penalty, but.
Yeah, it was based off a penalty kick, y'all.
I think I said on Twitter, everybody should get like 5 free fouls against Rachel Daly.
Yeah. I was like, that was a dive.
No, I mean, just in general, they should get 5 free fouls. They shouldn't count. She got a few to make up for. It was definitely Houston picking up sort of where they left off last Challenge Cup when they won last year. And Christy Mewis is in her bag right now. She's definitely playing in a different level than most people.
She should be on the
You gonna say it? Yeah.
She should be on the roster. And if she needs to be the 9, she can be the 9.
I put it out there for Vlaka. I was like, hear me out, Christy.
Because she's out here getting goals. She's getting goals. She's scoring. Everywhere.
She's scoring. She's distributing the ball. Like, she's just playing at a different level. I think, why not see what happens? You need another 9. Why not? You can put Christy Mewes in several places. When we talk about hybrids in the Olympics, she's one that can do multiple things. So,
right.
And I think you should reward somebody who's vastly improved. I don't think Christy Mewes was ever bad. I think that's a coaching conversation, but she's definitely stepped her game up.
Right.
And found another gear. So I'm rooting for her. I hope she's on the squad. We'll talk about that in a few weeks. I'm not going to go there yet.
Yeah. Kansas City, they had a one goal.
Yes.
By,
you want me to say it? I got you.
Yeah, go.
Vasconcelos scored for Kansas City. It was a nice goal, too.
It was nice. Nice. So
they're coming along. I think Kansas City has some talent. I think they just got to gel a little more. They could use somebody to help A-Rod with the scoring, but I think they're a decent side. I think they'll have a good showing during the regular season.
So. Also, we did find out that Abby Smith should be the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
There's no need for that.
Yeah. I think
Abby Smith is your goalkeeper. Is your starting goalkeeper.
I agree. I think
we see you, Mama.
Yeah,
we do. Shea Butter Esselet. Yeah,
Shea Butter.
Yeah, out there, you're gonna be the goalie. She didn't play in this game, by the way.
No,
so that's all you needed to know. But she's the starting goalkeeper.
I agree.
Next
game is Washington versus Gotham, and everybody was really hyped for this game.
We were turned up.
The performances that had happened previously. And we probably shouldn't have jinxed it because it ended up being a 0-0 draw.
Yep.
We got a section that says game highlights. I don't know if we want to call it that. The Spirit had 19 shots, 4 were on target. Gotham had 13 shots, 2 were on target. So I don't know if that's good defense or bad defense.
Spirit had most of the possession.
Yes. They had all of the possession, but they just couldn't quite find it in that finishing third. And, you know, we're big Trinity Rodman people here. She had a game that an 18-year-old rookie would likely have. She was still doing fairly well for herself, but I think her touches were just a smidge off this game. And again, that happens. You know, reality check, she's still 18. She still had a few moments of joy, but she'll be fine. We're not particularly worried. I think the bigger thing is probably Gotham had some better chances. Mitch Purse was finding a whole lot of joy.
Beautiful ball.
Flanks and creating balls and passes in. And that 9 situation is interesting. So it's like I say with Man City, right? If you're going to lead into speed, you're going to have a conversation about Ellen White, because while she is good, she's not fast.
So what you trying to say?
And it's very obvious, right? When Lauren Hemp, or like Chloe Kelly make runs and she's a couple steps behind. That looks a whole lot like what's happening to Gotham right now.
Oh, so what you're trying to say is Carly Lloyd is looking really, really slow.
She's not as fast as her wingers. And it's obvious. She's just behind the pass or it's just off.
Yep.
And like your 9 has to be that outlet, or you're looking for your 9 in that box. And if they're a couple steps behind, like, you're not going to score goals. So as Gotham remakes themselves, right, and has that speed up top, it's if you're not able to scheme it, or, you know, tactically scheme it, then it's not going to work. Like, you've got to find another way if you're going to insist on starting her or try somebody else.
Yeah, because, the problem here, like, Gotham should have straight out won this game. Because Midge was serving beautiful balls.
She was.
And she's being a little too unselfish, which is going to be a reoccurring theme in the later game. But she served some pretty balls that if Carly was on time in the box or did what she needed to do, then the game's over. That's a straight up one. It's over. It's at least a 2-0 game. And for that reason, then it created some opportunities for Washington, but they were dysfunctional too, because the defense was doing what they could. I mean, because Estelle Johnson was out here laying down the Shea Butter bricks.
That one, she ran back on Hatch. Hatch was trying to run, and she just slid tackled that thing. Oh, that was beautiful.
It was multiple. She had about 2 of them things.
Yeah, she did a couple of them.
Beautiful Shea Butter bricks, because Mom be out here practicing in the rain, slide tackling. Shout out Diaspora United for putting that out there in the interview, getting that gym. But yeah, balling.
Yes,
balling, balling, balling.
She's a very good defender. She does not play for our country, but that's okay. That's okay. Cameroon deserves, so we're happy to see it. I think Gotham has a whole lot of really good pieces and a bit of a nine problem. We'll see what they do about it. Like, I'm not here to tell you.
Well, speaking of nine problems and scoring problems, that leads us into the next game where we then had the OL Reign playing the Chicago Red Stars in the Black Excellence Cup.
That was the best game of the week.
Yeah. And the OL Reign won this game 3-2.
Yes.
So the goals were out. The scoring bank accounts opened up.
Yeah.
You had I guess let's see who scored these goals out here.
Mallory Pugh is looking real pre-injury. Mallory Pugh is here, so you know that excites us. So yeah, Mal's starting to look good. Those runs are starting to look like they looked before. Again, friendly reminder, always 22. Oh, actually, she just turned 23.
Right.
Like this week. So still very young, with experience, and I think was a lot more hurt than maybe we knew initially. Right. It's hard to come back from injury sometimes, even the best players in the world. But yeah, she looked really good, being able to sort of flow freely, and she's not, it doesn't seem like it's all on her to score and be the sort of focal point. So I think she's got a freedom there. So I'm happy for her. I hope that keeps going. I hope she's rounded back into form, because Mal Pugh at her best is absolutely on the national team. So
yes,
we're always rooting for Mal here. So it was good to see her get on the scoreboard. And then next goal was Sofia Huerta.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was a game for people who've sort of been written off for dead. in the national team picture. But yeah, Sofia Huerta had herself a game. Hit a nice, that was a beautiful goal that she hit.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
It was really goal.
Out here balling.
Again, somebody who at their peak is at least part of the conversation. But we gonna get into what this game was. Who was the star of this game?
The beautiful, are we referring to that dime?
The star of the game, the woman of the match.
Queen King.
Oh, I like that. Queen King.
Yeah.
You should like add her and be like Queen King.
Hey Queen King.
She came out with the shirt, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she came out with the shirt. It said Black Lives Matter in the front. And then it said protect Black women on the back.
She did.
Hey. She had a dime to Pruitt that became a goal.
Whew.
But then she didn't stop though. That wasn't it though.
No.
Because, I mean, I think Morgan Bryan had a little goal out here in the world.
She had hers late, though. It was already 3-1.
But then Z came through, and she scored a beautiful shea butter bomb.
It was
Liddy. And the celebration was Liddy, and everybody was turnt up.
From the left at an angle on the cutback. Woo! Sorry. Yeah. You know, love that shot. But even that assist she had, that run she made in, it was just a beautiful team goal. I can't remember who passed it into her. And then she sprung that run.
Was it Shirley?
Shirley Cruz. Yeah, Shirley Cruz. Thank you. Wins that ball, right? Had lost it, wins it back, dives it into Z. Z makes that run up the left to the touchline and then sees Pruitt cutting and perfectly waits it. And Pruitt just launches it. Into the net. It's a beautiful team goal. The beauty of soccer. So, but yeah, Z had herself a game. And again, Z at her peak is also in the conversation. It's a whole lot of people that are going to be in these conversations.
Right. Including Madison Hammond.
Yeah.
She was balling.
Madison Hammond's been one of my standouts just in terms of the Challenge Cup. Like, she's a very good defender. Like, I didn't get to see her play a lot. She played at Wake Forest.
In the ACC?
I don't get that channel. Out here on the West Coast, so
ACC, yeah, you do.
But
stop
yeah,
playing.
She
ACC.
We get the Pac-12 Network.
The Atlantic Coastal Conference.
Great. She's great. I think she's just a great, again, just a defender's defender, right? Like clears everything. plays great angles, great stand-up defender, can tackle when she needs to. Very, very calm in the back. So she reminds me a little bit of Becky. So that's a compliment. A very good one.
Wait. So, yeah. So by the way, Z had a cutback that we then got asked this week, what are our cutbacks in the Shea Butter FC vocabulary?
Okay.
And so we had taken a poll. And in the house of the Shea Butter FC offices, the winner is those little cutbacks, because it's like those happen a lot, because it happened a lot this week. There are plenty of cutbacks, embarrassment situations. People are on the flow, you know, having to pray a little bit, you know, reflect because they got embarrassed due to the Shea Butter FC delegation. And I guess we're going to call those and one.
Yeah, Shea Butter and ones. For those who don't know, and ones were these really popular mixtapes back in our younger days.
Mixtapes as in their cut up reels that were on VHS.
Highlight reels of just basketball players, street ball, really. There's all the sort of tricks and different things that they can
cross
do. They need to make one for soccer.
They do. Yeah. But the little, they call them Tekker kicks, Tekker flips.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what it is. And one is strictly about embarrassing people and being creative. So yeah, Shea Butter and ones works for me.
And ones, and one breaks. I know it was whatever. It's whatever's going to put you on the floor. The and one mixtape vibe, that's what you're getting. That's what's happening when we say that.
Yeah.
So add that to your vocabulary for that blessing. Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for that. That was probably the most exciting game of the week. But we have a few more to highlight.
And so in the next coming games, basically we're playing multiple games in the week appeared.
Yes. Yeah. And so the next one was Carolina and Orlando, which both teams still had a chance to win the East.
Yep.
In the Challenge Cup. You would not have known it by the way this game went. Also ending in a 0-0 draw.
Yes.
Carolina came out in their typical 4-2-2. Mm-hmm. Orlando came out with a 4-2-3-1. They were without Allie Krieger, who suffered a concussion.
Yep.
So she was in protocol. Tony Presley got the start and ball because she's good at defense.
Yep.
But yeah, highlights of the game there weren't a lot. Wow, North Carolina had 19 shots.
Don't go 19 shots, y'all. was shooting practice.
They were off, They were all off.
Yeah, they were off. But keep in mind, I was freaking out because I'm like, Allie Krieger was actually doing mad work because she was having to be fullback, midfielder, center back, tell center back, hey, you need to move here.
Yeah.
She was having to do a lot of stuff and she's concussed. And so I was like, well, we got to pray for Ashlyn, you know, because it's about to be...
Who made some good saves.
Right.
Also though, the sort of, I'll call them the big three or the big four if you want to throw Kristen Hamilton in there. Mm-hmm. Just struggled to really get a good shot off. Even Dabinia, who's normally money, was a bit off in this match. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty one-sided. Orlando had some chances. I know there was one counter where Sid ran up the left flank, passes it. It gets dummied to Alex who misses it. And yes, this is that game. We'll talk more about that next week. We're not doing that this week. We are tired, y'all. But Orlando had far fewer attempts. North Carolina had the most possession. But for a game that if either team had won sort of would have been in the driver's seat of the East, it really didn't seem like anybody wanted to win that game.
I mean, they look really tired and hot.
Yeah,
because they were playing in, I mean, everybody's forgetting they're in North Carolina.
Yeah.
They were playing, I guess the field was worn down because prior to their game, I was about to call it the COVID Cup, the College Cup was played on that field. There was a game played there. Yeah.
Okay.
So it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then it was humid. Like they were drenched in sweat and then they were all looking exhausted.
It was
a mess.
I don't miss that humidity. So yeah, you could tell the last couple of games, people were just tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long preseason. People are still rounding out in the game shapes. They're not in peak sort of fitness yet. And yeah, so, it looked like it. It looked like
so wait. So does that explain why Gotham is losing to the next game? Well, not losing. They drew
Yeah.
Ross and Louisville, 0-0.
Yeah. I mean, so I'll full discretion. I was out in nature when this game took place. So
it's me. So
I didn't watch it in real time, but I heard about it. But if you want to give a quick summary of what happened.
So see what had happened was this did look like people were tired, but in all quite frank honesty, from what I saw, particularly with Gotham having most of the possession with 55%, mm-hmm. and they had 14 shots with four on target compared to Rawson's 11 shot with only two on target.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think they probably had more on target. But this game should have been over at halftime, because between Midge and the rest of the front line moving and opening the door to set beautiful balls at Carly Lloyd's feet, Carly should have had a hat trick. Like, I don't know what people want me to say. But again, similar to the game earlier in the week, she was moving a step too slow. So she would get the ball and she was hitting it, but wasn't hitting it with authority, or she missed where she should have been there for the pass. And so that's why they weren't connected, because this game shouldn't have even went to halftime. So similar to the first game this week they played, where, you know, if they could have scored against the Spirit, then they are already in the finals. You can rest everybody. Mm-hmm. We had the same kind of thing here, that it could have been over in halftime, but Carly Lloyd was slow. That is what it is. I mean, you got Vian. Put anybody else
Vian
out there.
Vian too has scored, yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, you didn't even put in Iffy until later in the match. Like, put Carly in the midfield somewhere or something, but her being non can't be it. Additionally, they got really, really lucky, because McCaskill and Yuki decided they were going to ball out today. And they were invading that back line for Gotham, who didn't have Estelle Johnson because she was resting. Yes. And so it was just like, you know, where it should have been a score for Gotham, it then became a fast break opportunity that McCaskill and Yuki were up there peering behind the back line. And so those little two shots on goal, I mean, I guess it really doesn't account for when something got skied, but it was getting a little rough at some time for a little bit. And a lot of it had to do because Gotham wasn't capitalizing on their chances.
Yeah, so. And I think, keeping in mind, Gotham knew going into this game all they had to do was draw, and they were going to win the East. But, yeah, so maybe they were trying some things. I don't know. I know we're feeling like it. Tweeted about this at some point, because this chick be checking her name, but listen, it's a pattern at this point. And so I trust patterns more than I trust anything else, because human nature ain't that varied. So yeah, I mean, Gotham has time to figure it out. They have a good coach. If she can figure out a way to utilize it and figure out how those offsetting speeds can work together, good on her. But I don't envy that task, and I don't know what Vlacko's going to do. We'll talk about that at some point in the coming weeks. But yeah.
But speaking of people on the U.S. Women's National Team, Portland in the last game played the Houston Dash.
Yes.
We ended up being a 1-1 draw.
Yes.
In Houston. In a game where Portland's already going to the championship game for the Challenge Cup. And Houston was trying to show off their vibes.
Yes.
And basically another game where people were tired. And so I mean,
man, wasn't a ton to highlight.
Not really.
I thought Houston was pretty decent in the first half. They got a goal in stoppage time in the first half. Shea Groom finally scored. I think this is her first goal.
But was that really a goal, or was it offsides?
I mean, she might have been off. That's fair to say. I don't think the refs care at this point.
Yeah, they were like, go home.
Not that I think they care anyway, but okay, that's a fine, I'm sure. Yeah, I think Portland did better in the second half.
Yeah.
The Crystal Dunn Simone Charlie thing is intriguing.
Yes.
That could be something worth doing. Crystal moved to the right as a midfielder.
Yep.
Because Crystal Dunn can play wherever she wants.
Yep.
And was having a lot of joy in a mic check.
Yep. That was almost a beautiful goal.
She was feeling herself a bit.
I was like, holy shit, giddy, if that would have went in. Notice how I cleaned that up. That would have been bomb. But yeah, Simone, Charlie coming in, that set everything off.
It did.
Also, Sophia Smith in the first half should have had a goal, but got claimed. It was claimed that she got tackled, and I don't understand how that wasn't called, because if she was free to go, she probably scores. So, you know, I guess referees were like, we were in Houston, we don't see things.
They were like, Portland already won, so who cares?
Yeah, and Adriana French was balling too. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, again, Shea Groom was off sides, so it probably was a 1-0 W.
I would like to quickly say it shouldn't be a conversation anymore, right? It's AD.
Sorry. I mean, are we going to go all the way there? Because then that means who needs to come in cap for the second?
That goal that Campbell let up was not a good goal to let up. Sorry.
I guess we need to
I know she was shielded, but that wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, that should never happen. Where AD's goal, like I said, it was offsides, but that was okay, fine. That's a goal. We also need to make it clear the fight for number two on the U.S. Women's National Team in terms of goalkeeping. Yeah. At this point, it needs to be a war between Ashlyn Harris and Adriana French. That's it. That's who you need in camp. We don't need to do none of this other foolishness. We're doing.
I think for the Olympics, that's easy. We can have a conversation in 2023. But I think for right now, yeah, that's it.
That's it. Don't make this complicated, Blacko. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's it for the NWSL this week. And then we're going to have Sills who, you know, let's talk about this.
UEFA
Women's Champions League. Since you woke up at the crack of dawn for it. Like
I did. 3:00 in the morning.
Woo. Girl, I was asleep.
I was too. I woke up for this game. And I actually woke up late and missed the first goal. So that's how the struggle was for me.
Oh, yeah. So break it down. Because this first game was at 3 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, Pacific Standard Time. So the first match was the second leg between Barcelona and Paris Saint-Germain. Into this, they were tied 1-1 with Barcelona having the away goal. So this match was played in Barcelona with fans, by the way.
Yep.
So that was cool to see. They looked pretty distanced and safe. So good on the Spanish government or Barcelona or whoever had that under control. Like I said, I actually missed the first goal by like a minute. So in the 8th minute, Lika Mertens, who had herself a game today, was on the left side being covered by delegate member Ashley Lawrence, who we love, but it wasn't the best game for her. Lika Mertens makes a run coming toward the back shoulder, I guess, of Ashley Lawrence running on that left side. And Carolyn Graham Hansen could pretty much get into the box when she wanted to. And so Lika absolutely bangs in a goal.
It was pretty.
Yeah, it was. It was a damn pretty goal. And I've said I'm quite big on Lika Mertens. So consistency is her only issue, but she's very talented on the ball and a very good scorer of goals. So that ended up putting Barcelona up 2-1. Mm-hmm. And then they actually scored again, Lika Mertens on the left-hand side.
Yes,
same MO. Later in the first half, and they were up 3-1, which put a ton of pressure on PSG, who was going to have to score 2 goals likely anyway. But they got one back. Delegate member Marie Antoinette Katoto scored right in front of goal, as she should, one of the best nines in the world. And it was 3-2 on aggregate going into halftime. And then, honestly, PSG had some joy. They switched Sandy Baltimore, almost said Charlie again, They switched her to the right. Caveat, there was no Katatou Diani this game, so she missed both legs. I think it absolutely made a difference. It did not stress to Barcelona defense, didn't have to stretch themselves at all. Baltimore got the ball, there were 2 or 3 defenders on her.
Yep.
They absolutely shut down that left side with her and De Brits.
Yep.
And Bachman had to start because Diani was out. They switched Bachman in Baltimore, threw De Brits off. They also had Grace Guerrero in center mid and Formiga as the right mid. I would like to chat with the Paris Saint-Germain coach. he made some choices that I didn't agree with.
He was overthinking. He was trying to figure out how do you stop the machine. That's Barcelona.
He overthought it. And honestly, outside of those two Lika Mertens goals, they didn't have a ton of chances. I mean, I thought Barcelona was definitely a superior team, but they were,
as I told you,
really okay. I got it wrong. I took my L online today. It's fine. A lot of people did too. At least I owned it. I think if they have Deani, maybe it's a different conversation. But that doesn't negate you can only play who's in front of you.
Wait. Did you think he freaked out because he saw Jenny Hermoso was playing?
No, because I think she played in the first leg, so I think he had that. I just think he overthought it. I think he was trying to be overly offensive minded. I personally would have put Alana Cook in the second half because you were at the point where it was far more important for you to defend Lika Mertens than it was to have offense out of the back when you couldn't play out of the back anyway, right? Like PSG did not play out of the back much today at all. And so while I like Ashley Lawrence, I would have bought in Alana Cook and either moved her up or taken her out because you needed a defender. You needed somebody to ball win who could get it out and then get it to the next person that could spring the attack. Playing out of the back wasn't going to work today. And once Barcelona had the lead, all they did was hunker down, put five in the midfield and dare you to try to beat them. Or they went 4-1-4-1, sorry, and dared you to try to beat them.
So what you're saying is Alana Cook needs to be on the U.S. Women's National Team.
I mean, at some point. If I had Alana Cook as a right back, I would have put her in the game. I would have, because she's probably your best outside back in terms of straight defense. Like Maroney didn't have, I mean, she was pretty non-existent this game, right? So again, it just didn't make a lot of sense. The formation didn't make a lot of sense who he put in spaces. I will never understand why you put Formiga on the right. It doesn't, if she's holding and if she's supposed to clean up everything. Okay. I would have switched her and Grace. And he made some substitutes. I thought a little bit late. He brought in the homie Nadia Nadim. He brought in Jordan Huitema, who did have some moments, but they were off. Like those passes were just behind her. She couldn't get a good touch on one that was really nice to her. I thought he brought her on a little late, quite frankly.
Yeah, it was over. It was over.
Yeah, I thought it was a little late.
Because the Barcelona.
Yeah, they just hunkered down and played defense, and they're one of the best defensive teams in Europe. So, Barcelona earned that win. So, congratulations to them.
Because they're playing who? Because what's happening next?
They are playing in Chelsea. All right. So, the second match was the second leg between Bayern Munich and Chelsea Football Club. Going into this match, Barcelona was actually up 2-1. Chelsea had the away goal, and Chelsea struck first. That Kirby Harder situation was cooking today. One before we start, everybody. Chelsea played a 4-3-3. Bayern went 4-2-3-1. They ended up putting more like five in the midfield at some point to try to do defense, particularly in the second half. That front line had a lot more movement. And super Fran, Francesca Kirby, scored pretty early on to give Chelsea the lead on aggregates because of the away goal. And this was really Bayern's best chance of the game. They had a few late. Bezadrazil took the ball 25 yards out.
Yep.
Something like that. And just lit a rocket shot into the back of the net. There's nothing you can do about that.
It was beautiful.
It dropped at exactly the right time. And Berger's a pretty good goalkeeper. There wasn't a thing she could do about that. That might have been the goal of the tournament.
That was mom.
So she hit that, but Chelsea came back and answered with Pernille Harder, who seems to have a personal vendetta against Bayern Munich. But was able to get Chelsea on the board. Oh, no, I lied. Was it G? I think G scored the next goal, which was fluky. So I would say this. Chelsea actually looked like the better defensive team today, which is not something I ever thought I'd say. But it was because Magdalena is healed. Her calf is healed. And she played today. And boy, does it look different when Magdalena Eriksson plays. Pay her whatever she needs.
Yeah, that's true.
Double it, triple it. I don't care.
That's why she's one of the best defenders in the world.
She was. She was in our top 10 for a reason. She has more than proven that. Didn't call Millie Bright's name today because Magdalene Harrison was there to cover everything up.
Right.
And Carter actually had a pretty decent game. I worry about her sometimes, but she also had the assist. I believe it was on the Pernille Harder goal.
Okay.
So she laid that ball in there. She had been a bit reckless, I think, in serving off of dead balls all game and then just laid the perfect pass in. And that really sealed it. Byron had a lot of really good chances late. Just out of desperation, they missed a few fat ones in the middle of the goal. They also brought their goalkeeper up at the end to try to score. Chelsea fought for about a minute and a half to get the ball back. And then Fran Kirby was able to just shoot it because there was no goalkeeper.
And they were like, ah!
So she got her brace. Emma promised the game of their lives and delivered, quite frankly.
Yeah, they delivered.
She was incredibly happy, and she said she worked her whole career for that. So I was happy for Emma. I think she's a very good coach. I think she's become a very good manager, right? She's been through a lot of trials and tribulations and had to make a lot of mistakes in order to learn how to be an adaptive manager. Right. And she's also got a loaded team.
Stacked.
So the final on the 16th, I believe, which is 2 Sundays from now, will be Barcelona and Chelsea in a neutral site. One game, winner take all. So we will have a new Champions League champion. And Barcelona. We will actually – it could be Barcelona. I did say whoever won the PSG.
Barcelona.
Barcelona game probably
to say
would win.
Barcelona.
I'm not willing to do that yet because we haven't previewed the match.
Okay.
We will make predictions next week.
Okay.
Barcelona does make me very nervous, though. I will say that. They're a very, very good side.
I'm glad you feel that way.
I mean, yeah, I always have.
I'm glad you recognize real. Would you
I don't root for Barcelona. I'm a Real Madrid fan, but I know good when I see it. So,
because they be balling.
And I'm a huge Jenny Hermoso fan. You know that.
Yeah.
So, so good for them. I think it'll be a great match either way. So, we'll talk about that more next week. But yeah, so I think with that,
we got to do a break.
Yeah, let's take this break. So when we come back, we will dive into our top 10 rankings for our midfielders, and we will get into our next installment of the SBFC Get Your Fit Right. We'll be back in just a moment.
This week on the For the Culture Soccer Podcast, soccer podcast for us, by us. Join us this week where we talk about the home team's exit from the TCL. We find out who's going to Istanbul for the UEFA Champions League final. And we talk about why NWSL can't stop tripping. Join me, Grego, and the rest of the team this week on your favorite podcast apps and the FTC UTV YouTube channel.
Hello, welcome back, everybody. So now we're going to get into our top 10 midfielders,
which we actually
ranked. All right, so last week we picked 12, actually, because we couldn't decide. But we narrowed it down.
Mm-hmm.
We actually made some last minute changes.
Yep.
Because it's real, and this is why it's a struggle. I get it. We did it.
So let's start off with the 10. Like, who's number 10, though?
Okay, we doing 10 to 1 again, right? Starting from the bottom. All right.
Now we here.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and read off the names that we ranked. I will say that we looked at, like, overall performance. So we have a nice mixture. We've got defensive mids. We've got attacking mids.
Yes.
We've got central mids. We've got wingers. We've got complete sort of mids, people who can do everything. I think it's a good list.
Yes.
But our criteria was, are they good?
Yes, that's it, though.
And
that's important.
And in the end, again, like with our defender list and any other list we come up with, we will be revisiting this at the end of the year once all the other major tournaments have been played. Okay. All right.
So number 10, and why?
So for 10, we have Ingrid Engen. For Wolfsburg, we picked her because she's probably my favorite defensive mid.
Yes,
I mean, there's a few others out here. I mean, shout out to the eternal Formiga.
Hey.
Still out here doing it at 43. But yeah, we really like her game. We're both big fans of hers.
Yes.
I just think she's a very calm, on the ball kind of player. She doesn't panic. She clears almost everything. Great ball winner and a good defender. So
yes,
she was our 10. And we wanted to show love to defensive mids, you know?
Could y'all be out here?
Yeah. I don't think they get enough love, or some of them get too much love, but that's a whole different conversation.
You're being messy.
Hey. The internet's a messy
place. We won't talk about her today.
We won't do that today.
Number nine.
You want to do it? I'm going to let you do it.
They're great. Because y'all don't be knowing. Jack A. Groening.
Jack A.
The Netherlands queen. Yes. She be balling. She's the whole, like, understand. While Manchester United women are not going to the Champions League this year.
Yeah.
The reason they're number four still is because this woman by herself is the whole midfield.
She is.
Basically. Because the defensive mid they have, and Haley Ladd, when she can play, well, now she's hurt. Was having to for real just be in defense. Your 10 was having to be on the forward line. So literally Jackie G was manning the entirety of the field.
Yeah.
To do that all season out of position as an attacking midfielder, playing most of the minutes of the games for all the games, and then playing every freaking minute damn near for her country.
Yeah.
And attacking and being a phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a ball in midfielder.
We just wanted to show Jackie Groening some respect. She's been everywhere in that midfield for Manchester United, and they've needed her to be.
Yes.
So she's done all of that. I hope she has a nice vacation and rest before the Olympics.
Right.
She deserves.
She deserves.
She does.
So who's number eight, though?
Number eight is one Rosemary Kathleen Lavelle.
You're putting the whole government name.
I do. I love calling her by her government name. She probably does not. We love you, Rose. I'm sorry. Y'all know, I think both of our feelings on Rose Lavelle, we are very high on her. I think the only reason she's an eight is, listen, you can feel, for whatever reason, Rose Lavelle has not been a consistent starter this year at Manchester City. Jarrett
Taylor.
Yeah. And I get that they're loaded at that position and everything else. But
wait a minute, my bad. Jarrett Taylor's incompetent. Go ahead.
But yeah, and they have good midfielders. Like, I'm not knocking that. But I think at her best, there is no one like Rose Lavelle.
Yeah, cheat code.
Yeah, she just does things that nobody else does with a soccer ball. So, and she's fun, right? And I always say somebody says she looks like a librarian or like an elementary school teacher. But she's mean, right? Like, she wants to embarrass you.
Right.
She wants to put you on the ground. And yell in your face afterwards. So we like that about her. She doesn't look the part. Right. And that's the best thing about Rose. So.
And when you use her for club correctly,
yes.
Because I gotta say correctly, don't be putting her on the freaking wing. When you use her for club correctly in the midfield, particularly in the games you need to win, like a Champions League game in the quarterfinals, or if you needed to win the league game against the Chelsea, you might want to start her. When you actually play her, she does phenomenal things and it's difficult to defend and is a nightmare.
Yeah.
And she does this for actually country too.
Yes.
So we see Rose.
Yeah, putting her on the front line takes away her room. So I wouldn't do that, but that's just me.
Number seven,
the homie Chelsea legend Ji Seo-yoon. Got a goal today, by the way. So
does she really want to stay at Chelsea? She can go somewhere.
Don't do that. Yeah, she's staying at Chelsea.
She can come to LA. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, she could, but she won't. So
right, bring it down. Watch. Yeah, she's really, really good.
G is just also flagrant at times. She's got a little heat check, a little mite check in her. She was in the delegation, right? She just be trying stuff. And works well in tandem. She had a better season last season than I think this year, but she's rounded into form at the exact right time and has really made contributions during the Champions League.
Balling.
So I mean, G is a boss. So yeah, shout out to the homie for sure. I'm glad she plays for my team. So
who's at number six?
We gotta do it, yeah.
I'll say it then. Okay. So number six is Lindsey Horan.
Yep.
Yeah. Y'all can feel how you want to feel.
And we do. Don't get it twisted. We do too, but
she be talent
ballin'. Is talent.
She be balling.
Talent is talent. She might be the best complete midfielder in the game.
Yeah, she is.
So I mean, Lindsey Horan is very good at soccer, which is why you can feel how you want to feel.
Hey, but she'd be assisting the delegation, particularly one delegate.
She does. She does.
And so and she'd be linking up with. You know the left side be fine, man.
Left side is the best side.
Crystal and Kristen. Yeah. With, they be flowing. She be serving. She got Kristen the 60 of goal. She be even and playing with Crystal. They be playing off each other. That she, yeah, Lindsay up there, man. She up there.
Yeah, she's good. It's undeniable. Again, personal feelings aside, we're talking soccer at the moment. So we'll save the rest for another episode. Number five
is
Samantha Mewis.
Yep.
Though her sister's coming. Her sister's coming. Sam had a ridiculous 2020. She's hurt a bit for 2021. Still good. I think a little off, particularly in some of the bigger games, but she's still Sam Mewis. She's still going to defend. That's a freight train coming. That's like trying to stop LeBron James on a fast break. Like, there's just some things you don't want to do. I would not put myself in front of Sam Mewis on a counterattack.
Right.
And a really good passer of the ball. Obviously advantageous to have her on set pieces because you can't defend 6 foot. And a smart player, right? No one's accused Sam of being fast, but she's very tall. So that helps. A very direct midfielder. We are big Sam Mewis fans here. And I think she sort of found her groove and she's hitting her peak age, right? She's about 27. So that makes sense. And really found herself a home at City. Whether she stays or not is up to her. I'm sure they would love to have her. But I also know Paul Riley misses her very much. So we'll see. We'll see what she does after the season is over.
Number four.
Yeah. Am I doing it?
Yes.
All right. Sarah De Brits. I'm a huge fan of German midfielders in general. But I just think Sarah De Brits is a baller. I've said I don't think you can actually defend her for 90, though Barcelona did a pretty good job today. She still had a few moments. But I think she just works really well in tandem, particularly with speedier midfielders and wingers. Just really good instincts, really good instincts on the pass. Really good, I think, underrated on the ball. Just sort of her footwork or dribbling ability. I'm a huge Sarah De Brits fan, and I think she's still got a higher ceiling than what she's hit currently. And she's not leaving PSG, but man, if she was, I would pay a lot of money to get her. But she seems pretty happy there. But yeah, I'm a huge Sarah De Brits fan. Mm-hmm. I'll let you do three.
All right, number three is Dabinia. I mean, it's Dabinia, man.
Do we have to say a lot about Dabinia?
Like, so I guess for our non-American, like, she's balling. Like, ESPN tried to put her in the, like, they put her in the 10?
They did. They put her in the top 10. I gave them credit for that one.
Dabinia is phenomenal. Like, anywhere on the field, she can shoot and score. She has the audacity to do it at any time.
Yep.
Like, notice that we talked about these Challenge Cup games. She is effectively the factor in a bunch of these goals for North Carolina and just be taking shots. Like, literally, we're talking about shots that other people would be like, that's a bad shot. Like, no, that should have went in. Like, we're talking about outside the box, inside the box. Just the problem, just anywhere, just take over the game and just shoot.
It's like the Steph Curry shot where it would be a bad shot for anybody else, but not a bad shot for her. Yeah, but Dabinia is not a bad shot. So
and she does this for country too. She's a nightmare.
Yeah.
She almost actually, they was cooking up. Her and Marta was cooking up, but in particular, she was cooking up on Kelly O'Hara. Not Kelly O'Hara.
Emily.
No, it was Emily Sonnet was getting. She may not be on the team because of what she did in that game.
They got very excited. But yeah, Dabinia is good and she'd be good at any league. It doesn't matter where she plays.
Not at all.
Number two
is
Alexia Putellas, who's just woo! Talk about somebody who wants to embarrass you. I still think about that term she hit last week. She's the real deal. Complete midfielder.
Yep.
Can go and attack when she needs to. Obviously amazing on the ball, amazing in tight spaces.
Take over game.
Can read the runs that her teammates make incredibly well. And this is for club and country.
Yep.
I
can't wait for her to light up Chelsea.
I'm a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie. And it's gonna suck because I really like watching her play, so that's gonna be hard.
I'm gonna be excited. I'm super excited.
A lot of
do your thing, Alexia.
Haters are just fans, fam. Haters are just fans.
Why are you doing that? But I ain't even a hater because for number one, I respect greatness. Oh, tell the people who the greatness is because she coming to a stadium near you.
Gonna get her from the airport if she needs me to. Jennifer Marazan.
Ooh, Lord.
Still not 30.
She's number one, y'all.
And yeah, she's our number one.
The great Mara is number one, y'all.
Because I think Mara at her best is still the best midfielder in the world.
Yes, she is.
Incredibly efficient. Can be really direct. Is probably better on the ball and creativity than people give her credit for. I think when you're a German midfielder, people don't tend to give you credit for that kind of thing. And it's just been feeding balls to really good players for a large stretch of her career, and again for club and country.
Come to LA.
She's just one of my favorites to watch, and I honestly don't know how I haven't been this excited to watch a player play in a long time. And the fact that she's coming to my team, it's just, I'm ready. Like,
she's gonna serve beautiful balls to the front line. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's gonna be beautiful. I'm just thinking of some of the young talent on that team, the Z's.
So, Sophia.
Yeah.
Like, y'all are gonna get these beautiful balls at your feet.
And I think of her in the midfield with like a Jess Fishlock or even a Shirley Cruz, right? People who know how to do this and have played with her, against her. And even the younger midfielders, getting them some real mentorship and teaching them how to play this position and think critically and, you know, make good decisions as midfielders because you're the playmaker. So she's just consistently good. And so we honor that. However, like we said, we'll come back and revisit this list at the end of the year. Some things might change. Some new names might be on here. Some names might drop off. So,
Speaking of revisiting, so we were supposed to provide y'all with the forwards and strikers, but because we need an extra week of prayer because this list is probably going to piss people off. We don't care.
Yeah.
But we also need to figure, we might have to break that up because it's a lot of people and we might have to have forward strikers. Yes, there is a difference.
Yeah.
And yeah, y'all gonna be in your feelings because your favorite may not be on there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Oh, it's gonna be several faves and ain't gonna be on there, but that's
because we gonna get real about what it is and what it do.
But
we'll get into that next week. So let's get into the Get Your Fits Right segment. And this, again, for the people who don't know, is where we talk about what we would like to see to get your full Shea Butter FC experience. We're talking about fits and accessories, but this week we're talking about kits.
Yes.
So I guess we should start this off here. In the realm of the kits, similar to what we talked about in our kits review of the NWSL situations.
Yes.
Whether they are fly or not for my industry. What I would like to see in a kit, you know, because everybody wants to have the kit with the sleeves. When the sun's out, the guns are out. I like to wear tank tops, cut offs. If I am cold, maybe a long sleeve, just put on a jacket. I mean, the long sleeve is more so for y'all cold weather people, but I want some kits that are in cut off tank top situations, or for real, not goalkeeper necessarily, although goalkeepers need love too. Shout out to the people. But long sleeve situations so I can rep my team in different weather. I also want the tank tops and the cut offs for my people who are out here playing on the field. Because the homie had already told us, she said that, like, they practice, you know, for real, in tank tops. So why can't they play in tank tops? I mean, would you want to be in Orlando? Do you want to be in Houston in 99-degree weather playing in
a
short-sleeved shirt? No.
Probably not.
Neither do I want to be in the stands sitting in my, you know, purple black jersey sweating my life away in 100-degree heat. So give me some tank tops so I can have the guns out, the sun's out. Additionally, you know, can I get some rainbows? Can I get some colors? Can I get some variety in terms of my kits?
Yeah.
For the Pride Month, I say something for like Pride Month because when we do Heritage Month, because we have no diversity, equity, inclusion offices and divisions in the NWSL, I don't trust y'all. So I don't need y'all having the kente cloth, the lace, you misspelling different type of languages on shoes, doing native clothing. Like, no, I don't trust y'all. So we're not going to have the Kente cloth jersey during Black History.
God.
And then we're kneeling. And then we then make another Challenge Cup preview video that where y'all save racism. Y'all stop racism with some Kente cloth. Like, I don't need it happening for my sanity. And I don't need y'all messing that up. I don't trust y'all. So just give me some rainbow kits and some other colors. And then reach out to your local people, like to the local artists in the thing. Because the cherry blossom.
I'm here for the cherry blossom kit. I really wish these DC teams would just embrace it, you know?
Embrace it, shall we?
There's a lot around DC that you can incorporate the kit. So I think the cherry blossom happens to be the most famous.
We see you, Riz.
Yeah. Shout out to Riz.
We out here. We trying to get the cherry blossoms out here.
We trying to help you. We trying to help you, sis.
So, Washington Spirit. Give us a cherry blossom kit.
It'd be fly. The scarves are fly. So I'd imagine the kits would be fly as well. I don't have a lot to add. I'm not as big of a tank top aficionado as my partner here.
Wow.
You can always hit the Becky Sovereign roll up, pull up sleeve situation.
That is not the same. See, Becky doesn't need to be out here defending in the freaking long sleeve shirt. Give her a tank top that's had the guns out.
Becky don't wear long sleeves. She rolled them joints up like a real defender. That's what I'm saying.
But can she get a tank? Can she have like a cutoff?
I think she probably would prefer cutoff. That's probably why she does it.
That's all you need.
It's her signature at this point. It is her signature.
I see you, Captain. I'm looking out for you.
Captain. Yes.
But go ahead, tell me.
I don't have a lot. But I know we were joking around on Twitter this week. So I think what could be cool is if we make kits, team kits. Specifically for HBCUs.
Hey.
And this is going to start fights. MPHC orgs.
Tell the people.
I will do this briefly after, oh boy, talking about the horseshoe this week. MPHC is the National Panhellenic Council, which is the 9 predominantly and traditionally Black Greek organizations, 4 sororities, 5 fraternities.
Yep.
And so they have consistent colors, so you can at least play around with it. You're probably not going to be able to make a third and fourth kit because they're going to get mad at you. But unless you keep the color scheme. But I think, like, listen, don't nobody spend money like Greeks. So
that's true.
You give them kits to rock and they will rock them. If you do it well, they will fight for the rights of people to make those kits.
Right.
There's so much you can do. There's so much rich history there. You have so many known Black Americans and Black people of the diaspora who are a part of these organizations. There's so much just bringing in local flavor or tradition or whatever that you could do, both with HBCUs who've also produced graduates, names that you know, right? Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King, Thurgood Marshall, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's a laundry list of Black folks.
And it's like they got established colors so that you don't mess this up.
You have 2 to 3 colors for the HBCUs. You got 2 colors for the Greeks. Like, it's really hard to mess up, and they're not going to let you mess it up. So
you won't, not at all.
You will not. You're going to learn if you do. I just think that would be a really cool idea. I'm not Greek, but I have a ton in my family. And so, again, just a way to bring the culture into it, and they'll rep it regardless of whether they watch.
And then we get to start the stroll. They'll have the strolls at the end. Oh man, that'd be.
Oh yeah.
The stroll during the Shea Butter Bomb, during a Wipe Me Down.
Ooh. Yeah.
Are we swag surfing? Oh, that'd be lit. Y'all not ready for it.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless, honestly. So, one day.
I guess. Yeah, so basically that's our Gets Our Fits opinions for this week in terms of the kit situations. Next week we're going to get into the outerwear, and that's going to be a lot. But let's get into these hits and riffs, man. What you got this week for the hits and the riffs?
All right, so we started with the yesterday's. old school sounds weird because I grew up. So no, we're not going old school.
It's yesterday. That's why we say yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday's. So my yesterday turn up is One Thing by A. Marie, specifically the remix featuring Eve. But you can do the original. It don't matter. So I made a comment about Gogo.
Oh, Lord, here we go.
This week. And so the homie says she could tolerate A-Marie, DC legend that she is.
Whoa. No. Don't go telling these people this lie. Explain to them, basically.
She said that was the good version of Gogo. Like, that was acceptable.
So she brought up, if y'all don't know, Gogo is a local...
It's music specific to the DC DMV region in particular.
And so I made my opinion in terms of how I felt about Gogo.
She said it was trash.
A lot of Gogo for it, because the songs be 50 minutes. Like, me having to listen to 8 hours of Gogo is a no-no. So there are high quality versions of Gogo. Y'all can feel like your feelings. I said what I said. But yeah, don't sit here and have me make it seem like I don't like A-Marie. That album is bomb, actually.
It is a very
that
good
album is a bomb album. But go
it
ahead.
It's a very good album.
Now that I cleared it up and defended my valor in terms of how I feel. Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. By the way, the album is All I Have. So it's a very bomb. Good. It was her first album.
It was $7.99 back in the day. Okay.
Wow. Sam Goodies, did you get FYE. Rest in peace to all those stores.
Actually, I got it from Peppermint Music.
Oh wow.
That's in Atlanta. All right. That was rest in peace. All right.
But yeah, so that's my old school yesterday turn up. Check that out. Like it's on YouTube, like it's not hard to find.
What's your quiet storm?
My quiet storm.
Wow.
Because if you want to be in your feelings, so you actually mentioned Michelle and Diacello. In the last week or the week before. So my quiet storm is from her. It's called Fool of Me. I believe it's a soundtrack that it originally was on.
Yes, but, I think so.
But you can Google it. It's a beautiful piece of music.
It is.
You have to live some life to really feel that song. But yeah, it's a beautiful piece of music. She's an incredibly talented artist. So I could probably pick most of her songs every week. But yeah, keep it simple. That's my yesterday quiet storm. What are your yesterday songs?
So my yesterday turn up is the hometown legends Outkast,
and because Atlanteans.
Excuse me, ATLians,
sorry.
Okay, Outkast. So I was trying to give y'all Outkast that wasn't seemingly commercial, because a lot of y'all don't be knowing about the like the first albums of Outkast.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm talking about the low headland in the low.
Yes.
I'll talk about that real Southwest Atlanta type stuff. So Wheels of Steel is one of my favorites. The DJ scratching beat breaks on that, the flow fire. But then it was tied though, so Ain't No Thing. That's my other one that has me, because they be representing the East Point. That's actually where I was born.
Oh.
And so then yeah, that's the Outkast. So y'all get two for one right there. And then for the quiet storm, you get another for one such situation. So I love the Players Ball Reprise by Outkast, because man, it makes me feel like I'm back in Atlanta and rolling through the streets. And then, you know, it's a vibe. But my yesterday, the other yesterday quiet storm, that's more so a quiet storm, is one of my favorite artists. One Tamia.
Yes.
Off her very first album, that Bomb Bomb album.
Yes.
One of her most popular singles, You Put a Move on My Heart.
Woo. Yeah, that's we made that noise for a reason. Yeah, that one's
good. That song is so beautiful. The singing is so beautiful. It's still, that's love, baby. That's a beautiful, ooh, Lord.
It is.
Hallelujah.
She was Quincy Jones approved, so he knows a thing or two about music. So
yeah, let's go into the date. What is your today? Tell the people your today, today selections, please.
My today turn up is probably not considered a today turn up because of when it came out, but it is
she said eternal. It is
timeless. Play it right now. Bet you they dance.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. It's the classic. It's my Negro spiritual. Back That Ass Up by Juvie. Those violins hit. I made a joke once. If I were to be buried I want somebody to play back that ass up just to make sure I'm not dead. Because if I don't get up for those violins, then I'm gone. So if anything could get me up, is that. So that's near and dear to my heart. That's one of my all-time favorite songs. And it always makes me feel better. Like, I love that song. Like, it just okay. is.
All right.
And then my today, Quiet Storm. So I have the tendency to like really good songs that have really trash lyrics. So my pick is Bambi by Jidenna. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful song, but if you listen to the words, you're like, I'm glad she married the other dude. but yeah, but it's a very good song, and I think he's very talented. Yeah, so mm-hmm. give it a listen.
Okay. So I guess it's my turn. So for today, my turn up. If y'all don't know for who she is, Snow the Product. She has a song called Bet I Will. I've seen her from the beginning of her career to now. So her evolution has been pretty cool, but I love this song. I wanted another song. I wanted dang, I can't remember the name song. It's a song that she had on one of her albums. They didn't have it on Spotify, so that wasn't gonna work. But Bet I Will does what it needs to do. And then for my Quiet Storm of the day is some people call it the cheating album of the 2020s. Because it's got an R&B feel to it. 2088, the group that's comprised of Big Sean and Janina Keiko. It's called Push It. Go listen to that song.
Yeah.
It's got a 90s feel to it. It will ride you some blessings. It's pretty reckless. Look, we're going to be reckless from here on out. So you just prepare yourselves.
Yeah.
You're going to be blessed from the yesterday and today.
The Quiet Storm is about to get a little more.
It's going to get a little wild. But yeah.
We grown, so that's fine.
We grown. Yeah. So we're going to bless you. We're going to make you. We're going to have you. We're going to go all around the world. We're going to be all in the world.
In the world. In the world. Yes.
Because next week is going to be wild. But let's get into these rants and raves.
All right.
You can start this.
We're going to start. So I'm going to try to keep it.
You're going to keep it short.
Concise. I'm going to try because we got another week to sit on some things we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Some things with this league and all these leagues. It's not just the NWSL.
Mm-hmm.
But my brief rant is for commentators. Hell y'all doing? What are y'all doing? okay. So we had a few incidents this past week really in the past few days. So the first one, and this one just stuck in my craw and it's stuck in a lot of people's craw. Like, it's unacceptable at this point and truly from the beginning. Quinn has their pronouns on their Instagram.
Whoop.
Their pronouns are they and them. See how I did that? It's very easy. It's very seamless, right? They have asked to be called by their or have their pronouns used, they, them, or their, obviously. The announcers for the NWSL seem to struggle with this, right? It's been several games over two challenge cups in a fall series at this point. And it still seems to be a struggle. I've seen also some of the infographics misgender Quinn. They seem to have cleaned that up, but I also admittedly wasn't paying attention last game because I was so mad that they didn't use proper pronouns. They ended up using their name. So just Quinn versus pronouns, which I guess is better than nothing, but bare minimum is using people's pronouns correctly.
Oh Lord, particularly.
And then when you're called out on it, whatever that apology was, it wasn't good enough. And the apology still didn't use pronoun.
Right.
And fans were trying to call you out on it. And I think rather lovingly, probably more than you deserved, because the issue is there are likely almost certainly other players who are non-binary or trans who are going to be scared to come out because the league is not safe. There are fans who are telling you who are trans and non-binary that they don't feel safe as a fan in this league or of this league. And so you can't trumpet all these points about inclusivity and how the NWSL is sort of on the cutting edge of this when you do stuff like this. And again, this is on the heels of last month, that policy on trans athletes, which was just incredibly off and missed the mark, and it did not include non-binary athletes. So y'all are 0-2. So get that right. So that's one. I pray y'all do better tomorrow, because it rain plays tomorrow and they'll be playing. So let's get the pronouns correct. Two, I'm gonna just say old girl's name this morning, because I was already up and cranky because it was 3 a.m. Kaylin Kyle, I need you to retire the phrase pace and power. Love.
Oh Lord Jesus Christ.
Particularly because you seem to only use it for Asisat, who is the only Black player on Barcelona's team, to my knowledge. Yeah, it's just incredibly.
She's been doing it in other matches too.
She's done it to Lynn Williams. She's done it to several other players. And I'm just like, this is the type of stuff Black soccer players just had an entire year's worth of conversation of why they wish she would stop labeling them in this way and only talk about their speed and only talk about their strength. And not their soccer IQ, and not their playmaking ability, not their dribbling ability, and all of these other things, their ability to work with their teammates, all of it, right? These things that make them phenomenal soccer players. I know Crystal Dunn in particular has had this conversation, but how you talk about Black soccer players, y'all gotta stop. Like, it's, you know, at this point, it's not like nobody's having this conversation. And it's the fact that she used it like 5 or 6 times, right?
It was so bad. Like, it was bad. There was a highlight that literally I was like, did she just say this crap 3 freaking times?
Like, in a row. Like, it was egregious. So if y'all aren't going to back off that phrase, just stop using it. It's really annoying. And it's coded, right? Like, we know what it is to be gaslit. We know what coded language is. We know what you mean when you say super predator or thug or anything else. I know what you mean when you say pace and power. I know what you mean when you say sneaky fast too, because you mean white girls you didn't think could run. So let's chill on that and really be cognizant of how we talk about non-white players in women's soccer. And then lastly, commentators, man, all Black people don't look alike. So in the Chelsea game, Lilith Berenstein commits a foul that actually leads to, I believe, the Pernille Harder goal. But the announcer called her Asayi. Now, the only thing they have in common is these are women of relatively the same complexion. They look nothing alike. They're not the same height. They're not from the same country. None of it. Just straight called one the other. So, Black people don't all look alike. I just wanted to point that out. So the commentators, just in general, that's not even getting into the, I didn't watch the United game, but we were calling people by last names that are not on their jersey. Probably not a good look.
Not a good look at all.
Not a good look.
Because that person ain't even with the team no more.
Yeah. So let's get it together. Let's do our work. Like, it's your job to be a commentator, which means it's your job to prepare. If I have to prepare for a podcast, you got to prepare for a game, right? So do better. If they're paying you to do it, do your job better or get out the paint. So that's it.
All right, so my rant's real quick.
Okay.
So WNBA this week, apparently, they're not going to be able to have rosters with 12 players, some of these rosters. Like Chicago, for example, because of the salary cap situation, it's only going to be able to carry 11 players. This means more likely than not what you're going to have is where you thought you were going to have 144 players, 12 times 12 is 144. Yeah. You're going to probably have 136. Jeez. So you already have an oversaturated league and people want to go expansion. But the league in itself has some issues. Mm-hmm. One, they need to fix their cap situation. And so I don't know if you can do it now because of the CBA, but you need to make it so whatever the case, it be high enough, because I assume these teams can afford it, to be able to carry 12 players, honestly 15, because all it takes is a bunch of people to get hurt and then you having to bring in people on crutches and crap to play. And so, because they're already playing like 24 games, they're playing a lot of games and they play all year because they're not making millions yet here during the summer. So that's one. You need to fix the cap situation. And then you need to have them flying on private planes and not commercials. Mm. Because you actually had one person, you had Tia Cooper basically say, this is so crazy, they're flying commercial when in college they were flying private. Yeah. And again, it's similar to what the U.S. Women's National Team had to deal with, where they're like, they need to be flying private because for their own safety. Not to mention, you know, because you don't want fans like interacting with you for your safety on the flight. But not to mention, these are like women who are tall. And so what, they're sitting in commercial? Because I know mm-hmm. they're not sitting in first class. So it's like, you need to have them in planes so that they are similar to the NBA counterparts. Y'all got the money. Y'all can do it. Like, stop playing games. Because you need to address those things and then lodging situations and make sure everything is up to snuff and up to par before we start talking about expanding teams. Because, yes, you do need expansion, but you need to fix the problems that aren't up to professional level. Now, the professional level of the WNBA issues aren't as bad as the NWSL.
Yeah.
But, we need to fix those things before you add teams, because I know they want to add a bunch of teams, but it's like, boo, 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 boo. We got to fix cap situations, because you'll just add teams, but still not have a super oversaturated league because you didn't address things like cap issues, particularly when the money should be flowing, because now y'all recognize people watch women's sports.
Mm.
But anyway, that's my rant.
All right.
Let's get to the Raves.
All right. We're going to do another collective rave this week.
Yeah, Shea Butter FC Sunday vibes for everybody.
For everybody. So just shout out to some people who shine this week.
Well, yeah, let me go. So okay. I did see the Manchester United game in the last few games of the seasons. Sadly, Manchester United, they're not going to Champions League. That's okay. But two of the Shea Butter FC delegates was balling today. Although the teams were struggling, they were playing for, but Kristen Press and Ebony Salvin were doing the damn thing. They was out here balling, like, trying to make it do what it do. Honestly, if Ebony had a little bit more help, she could have put two up on Manchester United, and then Kristen had to go from being a nine and then be a midfielder, then be a winger. And then she helped to effectively do the assists that got the goal that allowed them to win that struggle bus situation. But shout out to y'all, Kristen, Ebony.
Yeah.
Hey, that's Kristen and Kristen Jr., Ebony. I wish y'all played on the same team.
Yeah.
But well, yeah.
She'll play with Trinity at some point. So it's good.
Hey, oh.
hey, could be sooner than you think. Yeah, shout out to Asisat, who came in for Barcelona in the second half.
Was good, homie.
Had a really good chance. Just missed it, unfortunately. It happens to the best of us, homie. But yeah, I think, again, still improving. I think her biggest thing is just working on her consistency. She has all of the natural skills, and obviously is also practicing to improve her game. But a great goal scorer. We'll see if she stays at Barcelona. But got one more game at least, so we'll see what that looks like. So always excited to see her play. We'll see if she starts in the Champions League final. Who else we doing here?
PSG.
Everybody.
Yeah. Everybody in the delegation.
Yeah. Specifically Katoto, who scored today. Wasn't quite enough to get her team over the hump, but just an incredible amount of delegation talent on that team. Hopefully they can keep most of that intact. Same with Gotham FC.
Gotham.
The delegation team in the NWSL.
Yeah, they go into the finals, y'all. Going to the finals, shout it.
Play against Portland. So like we said, hopefully their manager figures some things out. So they do have a lot of talent. And
We got to shout them out. It's Midge, Estelle. Amani. Iffy.
Yep.
Jennifer. Dami. Yes. We see y'all.
Oh, yeah. We see y'all. Y'all love the culture. We love you back. So, and y'all are balling. There's a lot of goals and assists between those people. And then obviously Estelle, brick wall in it back here. So, yeah. We like, Gotham's not my team, but they are my team. You know what I mean? Like they're the other team.
Hey.
They're the other team out here. So, shout out to y'all. Jorian Bakum.
Yep.
Jorian. Lovely goal. And lovely. Thank you for liking our tweet.
She liked Jordan, our tweet. Hey.
We always for that. But we see you out here.
Balling.
I believe she's not a walk-on. I don't know what the equivalent of that is, but it was a late add to the Louisville
squad. Yeah, she was there. Is she out here balling?
But yeah, out here balling.
With the edges laid.
Right, yes. We were talking about that. Hair immaculately laid. So yeah, she's showing her worth, and I think has gotten herself a spot to stay for Rossing. Louisville, as the homie says. So absolutely. Man, that OL Reign delegation is near and dear to my heart. Was balling last game.
Balling.
What do you call it? Queen King. Absolutely Yara? Had Shea Butter bomb, definitely big balling back of the net.
Yep.
And a Shea Butter dime as well. Beautiful pass to Pruitt. Mm-hmm. Just went ballistic. And like I will always say Z's upside is very high. And I'd want her on my national team if she's playing at that level. And I'm excited for her to be able to play with the Pinos when they're healthy and back, and Morrow and Shirley and just some of the other veterans. Jasmine, we see you. Did she get in the game?
I think so. She did second half.
Okay, so Jasmine came in. We love Jazz. I loved her turn on Diaspora United. Shout out to her and the homies. And she's doing great work, has her own business. Like, please follow Jasmine on Instagram. She's great. And then, like I said, to me, one of the standout players of the Challenge Cup has been Madison Hammond. So keep doing you. I see you. I love me a defender that defends. So yeah, she balled out. Who do you have?
Well, of course, again, like Crystal, Simone, Sophia, AD, y'all did that today.
They did.
And I guess lastly, Abby Smith, congrats on getting that started.
Get your child back. Because, yeah, last time you played, you got a goalkeeper assist. So I feel
right,
like
so, yeah, it's clear.
You should be out here. As long as you're healthy, we hope you're doing well. But, yeah, we see you. You were missed.
And so, let's see. Make sure y'all check out the homies for the culture. And Can I Kick It podcast, Diaspora United, Unfiltered.
Yes.
Makai McCullough, 2 Cents FC.
Hey.
Everybody, make sure you check out all the people who support us in the black football, soccer, media outfits.
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically it for this week.
Yeah. And then next week. I got you. So next week, we will get into the NWSL Challenge Cup Championship game. We will preview the final of the UEFA Women's Champions League.
Between Barcelona
and Chelsea. We will be opening our library because some stuff happened this week. We need another week to gather ourselves, and then we are going to gather some folks. And we will get into our next segment of our SBFC Get Your Fix, right?
We're also going to do our top 10 for real for the forwards. Maybe the strikers. We'll have to pray about it. We're gonna make some of y'all mad, but you're gonna be all right. It builds character.
That's okay. But I think that's it. We're ready to go. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what to do. So stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
Make sure the black women in your life are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And that's it, y'all. We'll see y'all later. Have a great week.
Peace. Stay blessed. Be out.
Shit.